Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Brewers Outlet Day, everybody. Yeah, great day to go over to the best in the business. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. A lot of tailgating coming up. Big game with Michigan tomorrow. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. It is all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great selection of pre-owned inventory. It is all at our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And, of course, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kier, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Big show coming up today. Tom Hannafin from the Patriot Podcast will join us. Brian Tripp will join us to talk about Penn State hockey. They're back against Michigan again tonight. Reginald Walker on Penn State football joining us from Charlotte in the show as well. But we lead off. You might as well use the term leadoff hitter when we're going to talk some baseball with the outstanding general manager of the State College Spikes, Scott Walker. My friend, welcome back. It is great to have you with us.
Steve, hello, my friend, and thanks for having me. What a beautiful fall day it is out there today, my friend. Look forward to Michigan tomorrow. Yeah,
absolutely. We're looking forward to Michigan very much. In fact, I think the last time I saw Scott actually in person was after the Auburn game. As a matter of fact, he and Dan Petrozzola were walking together.
This, I think you're right. I remember.
Yep. This is an exciting time that once we get through football season, and everybody's looking forward to tomorrow, and then we've got a winter season coming up, but then late spring into the summer means baseball. The Spikes last year drew in an abbreviated schedule and also with some restrictions in place early, still drew just about 100,000 fans last summer. What did that mean to you and the franchise?
Well, Steve, you know, we weren't sure what to expect, honestly, like everybody else going into the season in May and in June and what the restrictions were going to look like. And it was not easy, Steve. You know, we had to plan for all kinds of different scenarios. So the way we finished the season after the 4th of July game, Steve, we actually finished over the last 14 home games, 500 people per game on average, better than the same span at the end of the 2019 season. So I think it's a testament to how much people love their Spikes here in Happy Valley and how much people wanted to get back to the ballpark again. And I think, no pun intended, the 4th of July just sparked that for us.
No question, because that was the record crowd of 7,183 that went through the turnstiles that night, which was phenomenal. And I agree with you, Scott, set the tone for all of us looking at those seats the rest of the summer.
Absolutely.
Now the new schedule comes out. Last year was a 68-game schedule with 34 home games. Volume means something to any franchise in the position the Spikes are in. So what does an 80-game schedule potentially mean for the Spikes, and what does it mean that they wanted to go in that direction with more games?
Well, it's huge. You know, you lose a rainout or two in our industry, and it's painful, you know. So to be able to expand by six more home games is huge for us from a business standpoint. It really is. So I'm looking forward to, though, more opportunities to see our friends and our family members and all the smiling faces and all the kids running around the bases and the fireworks and the hot dogs and the cool soda pops. I'm looking forward to all that and having more chances to do that with everybody here at the ballpark next summer.
Which then brings up another element. Because of last summer, you had to really work your promotional days. Okay, now I think everybody feels better about what you can and can't do at this particular point. So what is that going to mean now for your promotional schedule? It's not out yet, but what does it mean for the planning for your promotional schedule?
Well, we're kind of back to the way we used to be with planning. You know, it was tough to really plan anything for the season last year. You weren't sure if you were going to be able to have group outings and hospitality events for folks, and you weren't really sure what to expect. You know, other than fireworks, we weren't really able to do bobbleheads or appearances because you just didn't know, and you have to schedule that stuff months in advance. So to have our schedule now, to know that we're back to normal baseball at the ballpark. Matter of fact, Steve, I just got out of a meeting with a gentleman that was on a team about 10 years ago or so that was part of a very inspirational team. And we were just talking about a bobblehead for this coming summer. So we're hard at work already. Joe Putnam's doing a couple things here and there. The rest of the staff is hard at it. I'm looking forward to doing what everybody's always known from the Spikes and loved from the Spikes, which is having fun, coming to the ballpark, seeing each other, but also... Let's do some crazy stuff and have a lot of fun with it, you know?
Crazy stuff and a lot of fun. And along the way, you'll see some baseball to go with. It's been an interesting offseason. Jacob Stallings, Tommy Edman, Harrison Bader, all former Spikes, won gold gloves, and Ollie Marmol became the manager of the St. Louis Cardinals. That element is also neat to see.
Oh, it's very cool. And, hey, is there a more deserving guy than Ollie Marmol to get that job?
No, there isn't.
My goodness. Everybody loved him when he was here. You could tell it wasn't going to take him long to get up to the big leagues. Just the way he treated people, the way he carried himself, the way he coached the game. You could just tell he had a bright future. And I had a lot of long nights with him hanging out, and I got to know him very well, him and his wife, while they were here, 13 and 14?
Yep.
And I couldn't be prouder of him, and I'm happy for him, and you know, I'm looking forward to seeing him lead the Cardinals next year.
Absolutely, and the number of times he did this show with me. I mean, he was on the show all the time because he was just so easy. He said, yeah, I'll do it. Like,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Not everybody's like that. He's like that. Appreciate him very, very much. Staffing. You had to work hard. Look, everybody's been working hard, short-staffed along the way. And you had to do the same thing last summer. So what's it going to be like, you know, the planning? You're trying to do a lot of planning, but the recruiting you're going to have to do to make sure you're fully staffed for what's going to be an exciting summer.
We're doing it now. You know, we're just like everybody else. And come game day, we need a lot of people to operate this place. And you noticed it. We all noticed it. We didn't have enough people, for example, to operate every concession stand at the beginning of the season last year. So we're making sure that we're doing what we can right now. To get people lined up for the summer so that we are back to fully staffed. I think 6 months from now, hopefully it's a little different than it is today, but you go downtown State College, how many businesses or restaurants aren't even open for lunch right now because they can't get enough people to work?
Exactly.
So, I mean, it's a struggle. It's the way the world is right now, but you got to persevere. You got to get it done, and that's the way we operate. That's our philosophy, and we'll get it done.
Right, that's the way it's always been, as a matter of fact. In fact, you talk about that, how many places are closed on Mondays to give their staff a break? The league itself, Williamsport, of course, a pivotal part of this league, which is right in the listening area of this, like the Spikes happen to be. How does everybody feel about the health of the league and the direction of it now 1 year into it?
We're feeling great. You know, I think the new model for the league next year is a testament to how well Major League Baseball, PBR, the league officials are working together to identify ways to improve the operation of the league. So the structure of it, the fact that we're able to increase by 12 games, getting everybody six more home games, which from a business standpoint is great. I think it's really just a testament to how well these three entities, which is Major League Baseball, PBR, and then the teams, are working together to keep this thing going, and there's no turning back. I mean, it's a great product business-wise. It works for us, similar to the way it did in the past. And, you know, ultimately, it's getting all the fans here in Happy Valley to the ballpark to enjoy the baseball on the field and everything else that is a Spikes game at Medley Field.
Yeah, and all the craziness that goes with it, which is like just a lot of fun. And I'll tell you, and I'll give you something. Let's take from the personal point of view. As you know, that you know, my family will go to the ballpark, and that means many times my grandchildren will go to the ballpark. That family aspect of the entertainment you want to present, every time you go through an idea, is that usually the first thing you think of?
Absolutely it is. You know, that's one of the reasons why we tinkered with our game times prior to last season. 'Cause I would see so many kids, I think I've mentioned it on your show before, but I would see so many young sons and daughters being carried out on their parents' shoulders asleep before the fireworks show was even going off because it was 10:30 and the game was taking longer than expected. And they had to get home because they had to get them to bed. So we're always thinking family first. We're always family-oriented. We try to keep prices down. We have to run a business. You know, but we're trying to make it affordable, trying to make it accessible, safe. Safety is a big thing we always think of at the ballpark.
Yes.
You know, where else in town are you comfortable letting your grandkid or your son or daughter just leave your site, go down to the kid zone, and you're not worried about it?
Right. Exactly right. That's exactly, and that's the kind of atmosphere that is promoted there the entire time. You can get season tickets now and also various plans now. And by the way, they make great holiday gifts. I'd like to at least independently point that out to everybody. Okay. That's just me. When would you like, idealistically, once the calendar turns to 22, to start getting out the promotional plans and things like that? You know, what, you know, ballpark as to when you'd like to do certain things?
Early in the spring. You know, we would typically announce our promo schedule in stages, March, April or so. So I think we'll probably bump that up just a little bit because our season does start earlier. I think everybody hopefully recognizes that.
Yep.
We start about 2 weeks earlier next season than we ever used to. Well, last year we started even earlier, but Friday, June 3rd is the home opener. So
yep.
Mark your calendars, get your tickets now. Like you said, Flexbooks just make a tremendous holiday gift, a stocking stuffer. They're just perfect to give to the Spike fan in your life.
Absolutely. It's a great idea. And then, of course, also in the spring, single game sales begin as well. So,
yep. Look out for Spike's Fest. That's always a big
yes.
It's always a big event for us.
And by the way, the last Spike's game will be Sunday, September 4th, which is actually before the Penn State football home opener. So it'll be the overlap will not be there. You'll be able to seamlessly go from baseball season to football season here. So,
Yep.
Since you're here, I want to also ask you about Coaches versus Cancer. Coaches versus, which you've done a phenomenal job leading around here. What you made, I thought, a remarkable and almost an in-your-face comment when we talked about this in the summer and I had you on the show. That cancer research financially may have been set back 10 years by the pandemic. What kind of bounce back did at least the Coaches versus Cancer local effort have this summer? What kind of bounce back has there been?
Well, Steve, it's hard to believe that we actually had one of our best years ever this year, net-wise. You know, I haven't seen the final net for the year. Obviously, we've still got a little bit to go, but I think there's a chance we beat 2019.
Wow.
And 2019 was our best year. You know, we had to deal with a lot. We had to move the golf tournament to August, you know. We had to cancel events. We had new people to work with. But, you know, it's not me, Steve. I got to say that, though. It's our committee. It's the strength of our committee members, starting with our executive team with Wendy Pelkey, Mike Martin, Elena Pyle, and then just our entire committee. It's just a bunch of studs that are doing stuff year-round, Steve. I don't think people realize we meet regularly, biweekly, monthly, and talk about what we can do to make events better, fundraising efforts better. CDC Day's coming up in January on the 31st. I think that's a Monday. I think we play Iowa.
Yes, it's Iowa.
Basketball program at 7 o'clock.
Yep.
So, you know, it's just a testament to how much people care and how much people want to see cancer stop hurting people's lives and their families. And I hate it, and I'm going to keep doing it for as long as I can. And every dollar we raise is important. So if you want to get involved, and thank you for bringing this up, Steve. If you want to get involved, contact me or visit cdcpennstate.org for more info, and we'll get you in a spot that makes sense for you.
Are you on track for a, quote, you know, maybe normal with a small N, but back to more of a normal schedule of events for Coaches versus Cancer fundraising next year?
We are, and coincidentally, that Friday, June 3rd date I mentioned as the Spike's home opener is actually the date of the golf tournament next year. So that will be an insane few days for me and the Spikes.
It might be for me, too.
I think it might. And hosting the reception the night before the home opener, that should be interesting. But I have some ideas. I think there's some ways we can marry the two together and maybe make even more money by pairing what we have going on at the ballpark with the golf tournament, everybody that's going to be in town those few days.
My good friend, I cannot thank you enough for joining me today. And believe me, the two of us have had a lot of fun at the ballpark. And that's what it's all about, fun. All right? And guess
every
what?
Day. Every day, brother.
Even though it's working, we're having as much fun, if not more, than you are because of all the smiles.
I've never worked a day in my life. Neither have you.
Oh, you got that right. And the here's the problem. The people that I quote, work with, attest to the fact they don't think I'm working. So,
well, they're wrong.
You're the greatest, man. Thank you so much, Scott. And it's just great the way the MLB Draft League is working out for all these franchises and especially the Spikes.
Yes, indeed. I thank you for having me on, Steve, very much. Thank you.
Anytime. Scott Walker, the outstanding general manager of the State College Spikes. We'll come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Great to have you with us. Brian Tripp in the next half hour. Tom Hanavan will then join us at 4:06 from the Pay Dirt podcast that he does with Matt McGloin. Matt's going to join us, in fact, on Monday. And final half hour, Reginald Walker, as we get ready for tomorrow's game between Penn State and Michigan at Beaver Stadium. Noon will be the kickoff. 10:30 will be the airtime here on WKOK. Same story, by the way. Next week will also be a noon kickoff with a 10:30 airtime. So that's where we stand. A big win for Pitt last night. Won in overtime, beat North Carolina. It's a great win for Pitt. Played out. I thought it would be a close game. Thought Pitt would win. Sam Howell played a gutty game, but he doesn't have enough around him, and that's a big part of it. And the NFL game last night, the Dolphins beat the Ravens. I'll say this quickly about the Ravens. The Ravens were put in a tough spot because they played an overtime game. And, I mean, a tough, hard-fought overtime game on Sunday, then they had to come back. Give the Dolphins credit, though. Give the Dolphins credit. They played well enough last night. And it was interesting with Tua Tagovailoa that they were able to win the game, especially in the second half. Hope you enjoyed hearing Cale Sanderson last night along with James Franklin on the Penn State Coaches Show. Wrestling opens tomorrow in Mannheim. It's going to be quite a season for Penn State wrestling. Really cool. Great to have that back with fans.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right. Great to have you with us on this Friday. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And that pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none, is all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummels Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, great pre-owned inventory, sales staff that works with you at trade-ins. They're trying to do everything they can to get you the best deal possible and a service department to back it up at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummels Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. High school football tonight, Eagle 107, Sealands Grove at Jersey Shore for the district championship tonight. On Eagle 107 this evening. Looking forward to that. Bucknell plays tomorrow, as does Penn State. Penn State, Michigan tomorrow. By the way, tomorrow it's going to be Bucknell at Army. And it'll be a 100.9 in the Valley. Tomorrow, Penn State football, Michigan. Noon kickoff, 10:30 the airtime here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right. There's also hockey tonight. Penn State and second-ranked Michigan squaring off at Pagula this evening. It's going to be a busy weekend for Brian Tripp. He's got the game tonight. He has Penn State football coming up tomorrow with Jack Ham and myself. And then Brian will be making the trip to Amherst. He's going to be the engineer for Dick Girardi and me on Monday night. In fact, we will do the show from Amherst on Monday. And Matt McGloin, by the way, will be one of our guests. All right, so let's go to Brian Tripp. Brian, welcome. It is great to have you with us on the show, my friend.
Tripper, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Steve, great to be with you. It was great to hear you back on the air doing some basketball with the fans last night.
Wasn't it great to be back in there last night? I mean, to hear Jeff Brown on the PA and, you know, and just to have fans. Boy, the student turnout was phenomenal last night.
You know, I've seen that across the board this year, too. I've done some PA announcing at soccer, and the crowds, they filled the whole bottom of the bleachers on the side opposite the press box at Jeffrey Field this year. I think there's so many people just so excited to have an opportunity to go back out and do stuff again. Not that the support here hasn't always been great, but you really feel like everyone's rejuvenated by it, and you have a sense of gratitude for having the opportunity to go back. You don't take anything for granted anymore.
No, they don't. And I think that's been great because now, well, I'll get to the hockey component of that, because the Roar Zone, which has always been great to begin with, I feel like there's just more juice in there now.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think so many people are so excited to get back there and talk about a series to get juiced up for. I don't need anything extra on the line with number two Michigan coming to town. But I agree. I just think the students are so passionate, so invested. And it's not just the students. The community support at Pagula has always been really, really good. They've bought into the program. But the students have been awesome this year, and it's across the board, especially with hockey, too.
They got 8:30 tonight with Michigan, then 7 o'clock coming up tomorrow. So that's how it'll play out at Pagula this weekend. I feel like Penn State comes in with a better knowledge of who Penn State is right now. Would that be fair?
Yeah, I think that's a really good observation. Obviously, they went down 2 weeks ago to Nashville, had the big win against North Dakota.
Yes.
And then on the road, they were swept last weekend by Ohio State. But Penn State led in each of those games the first period. And it's not that they played poorly, Steve. It was like a stretch of 10, 12 minutes, late second, early third period in both games that flipped it. And the thing they did really well against North Dakota, if North Dakota had a response, Penn State always figuratively punched. In that series against Ohio State responded, and Penn State never was able to punch back. So they didn't handle that adversity a little bit. But with a young team, it's a really good experience. I think they're going to continue to grow as the year goes on. And as you know, sometimes you have to go through those experiences, good, bad, ugly, maybe you become a better team. I think that was really played poorly, but how do you handle those stretches when it doesn't go your way? And in the Big Ten, it's a little bit different. Even though you're playing in North Dakota in front of their fans in Nashville, once you get to the Big Ten, you have to be ready to handle that situation.
Yeah. Once you get punched, you have to have the ability to counterpunch. And sometimes it's not that you can't. In other words, you counterpunch, and then doggone it, they do it again, then yet you're forced to counterpunch again. And that's, you know, if you have the ability to do that a second or a third time, then you've got something. But sometimes it's very difficult to do that second and third time.
Yeah, and I think also having, as a younger team, having the ability to add on to a lead, whether it's basketball, football, hockey, whatever sport we want to talk about, they had a 1-0 lead, had some opportunities on special teams on the power play, hit a couple of posts, 5-on-5, 4-on-4, whatever it may be. They had an opportunity to add to their lead, and if you can take that one, I felt both games, if you take that one, make it it's a completely different component to that hockey game, because even then, if it's a quote-unquote bad goal, or any times in hockey, the guy always talks about, there's rubber pucks, referees, and goaltenders, right? Anything could happen in a hockey game. If you can take that one and make it two, I think they would have been in really good shape and had an opportunity to win both those games. So even though the final score doesn't look good overall for Penn State on the weekend, I still think there's a lot of good things to take out of it. And then you learn from those other opportunities where things didn't go your way.
Well, how's Guy felt about his special team so far?
Yeah, I think he's pretty happy with where the penalty kill is at, especially probably taking too many penalties for his liking. I'd say that's probably the biggest thing. He doesn't want to see so much of that special teams. And the power play, they're still trying to find their groove. I think they've done a lot of good things on the power play, but I noticed in the last home series against Niagara, and even the North Dakota series, or the one game, they were really, really good on the power play. But when you have a team that wants it so bad, you just still need to stay simple with your attack. You don't need to make the cute play at the blue line. You don't just dump it in, get the puck, and then you get set up and go to work. And going against Michigan, I think whether it's on special teams or 5-on-5, look, they can dazzle you with their 7 first-round draft picks. They can dazzle you with their ability to move the puck and their skill. But how do you make a team like that uncomfortable? Dump pucks in, win battles, retrieve pucks, and keep your game simple. If you try to make the cute play and the flashy play to show that, hey, look, I can do that too, that's where you're going to get in trouble. But if they play their game and get to the net and get dirty goals and win pucks out of the corner, I think that's how you make a Michigan team that wants to show how skilled they are. I think that's how you make them uncomfortable by putting them in those situations, whether it's special teams or 5-on-5, whatever it may be.
Has Guy made any subtle changes, like a line change with somebody, maybe move somebody, maybe to change a defense combination, or has he been pretty settled with what he wants?
They've been pretty settled on the top, what you would call their quote-unquote top line with Ben Copeland,
right,
Kevin Wall, and Connor McMenamin. I think they've played really well together and have had great synergy. And the line of Ryan Kerwin, Chase McClain, and Danny Geniev's had really good synergy from day number one. But they're still tinkering a little bit with those other groups. So they were able to get Connor McEachran with Christian Sarlo. And Tyler Gratton had a really strong start to the year. And I think they see him as a guy who always plays with high energy. So to put him with McEachran, who's scoring a lot of goals for them now, he's always had a great shot. It's just a matter of taking that shot. I think that's one of the small things he's done. He's put Gratton with Sarlo and McEachran to try to get them going. And then you do have the luxury of having 5 guys that you can trust as a centerman. So whether it's Carson Dick in the lineup, or you can make Ben Schoen was playing on the wing, they've shifted him and he can play some center for them too. Again, it's not a major change, but just a little tweak here or there. Just try to get that right puzzle pieces together out there for the lines. And their defense, honestly, they've been pretty limited in what they can do because the bodies and personnel they have available back there. So they haven't really changed a whole lot on D.
What is Michigan's depth meant that they can run a third line out, and a lot of schools would love that to be their top line?
Yeah, and you know what? It's not just those guys that are going to get all the headlines as their first-round draft picks. They have a guy like a Luke Morgan, Jimmy Lambert, Michael Pastioff. As gifted as they are, they're still a really, really, not only when you look at freshman, sophomore young, I'm talking 18, 19-year-old young compared to, I think coming into this, their average age is 21.5 years old. Penn State's 22.5 years old.
Right.
That's a pretty big difference. But when you have guys who have been through the college hockey grind before, have been through the Big Ten, to have those experienced bodies, not to mention still very skilled players that you can trot out on the third and fourth line to complement your full complement of first round, whether it's Matty Beniers, Ken Johnson, Brisson, they have so many guys. But I really like their depth pieces, their captain, a defenseman, Steve, Nick Blankenberg. I think he's just really, really solid. So when you pair him with Owen Power, then it really gels for them. So I think that depth, that's a great, great observation. And it's not just because they have talent up and down the lineup, but they have a little bit more veteran savvy there too, and that makes them good.
Yeah, and you know, and look, their goaltending is good. I mean, you know, that Michigan almost
six, you don't have to move.
I mean, Mike, I mean, it's just he's just so large. I mean, and not only that, but I mean, because if he comes out and cuts an angle, right, the angle includes him sticking a foot out, for goodness sakes. I mean, it's like, you got to be kidding me.
You know, it's really good for college hockey.
I mean, whatever happened to Gump Worsley where you're 5'8"?
I'll say this, too. The team they have, though, is really And I'm not saying that they're the favorites to win the national championship. I think there's multiple different ways to build a team.
Yeah.
But any team that has four of the top five NHL draft picks on from this past year in the first round, four of the top five, that's good for the sport. It's going to get college hockey a lot of attention. It proves that going to college, and there's already 33% of the players in the NHL are college hockey players, but it proves that this is a very viable path to go to the National Hockey League. So I think what they have, and it doesn't guarantee they're going to win anything, not even the conference, but what they have is a really good thing for the sport.
Let me give you two observations about this. I think that we are seeing a college football season where there's more, quote, parity. You know, you look at last weekend with Alabama had to fight to win, Ohio State had to fight to win, Oregon did. Because of COVID, more players came back, and college football's older this season. Mm-hmm. I think in college basketball, we're about to see the same thing because guess what? The players are older this season. That's one of the advantages I think hockey has had for a long time because college hockey has always been an older sport to begin with.
Mm-hmm. I think that's been the delicate balance for some of these Big Ten teams. When you look at the compilation of players, whether it's Wisconsin the last two, 3 years, Cole Caulfield, Dylan Holloway, Keandre Miller, Minnesota over the years, sure, if you're getting these blue-chip talents who either come right from the national team development program at 18, or Sammy Walker, he came right out of high school. And then they're facing a freshman who's played junior hockey for 2 or 3 years after his high school career or a prep career somewhere else. Just because this is the most, quote-unquote, skilled guy, there's a big difference between Quinn Hughes at 17 and a 23-year-old defenseman. And that's why I think you need a combination of that is probably the most successful. That's how Minnesota Duluth has built most of their championship teams. I think UMass did a really good job of that last year.
Yes.
Of having a nice mix. But I think everyone has a different approach, and are you really going to turn to, if you can have four of the top five picks in the NHL drafts on your team, what are you going to say? Hey, we don't want you. It's a very interesting, it's like an exercise in team building that makes it fascinating. And college hockey, as you said, has always been a study in that, but I think it's amplified even more now.
Right. I have to ask you now on football, you're down there in that sideline all the time. What was your observation watching Penn State play Saturday at Maryland?
Yeah, I thought in the beginning of the game, to be honest, I know we talked about it on the broadcast a little bit, and I'm not sure what it was. It just, there was a little bit of juice lacking, but once they were able to sense that, they got that confidence going, that's when the sideline, that's when they took off. And it all started with who else but number five, right? He was unbelievable in that game.
Yes.
But once they started to get that confidence, then it took off for him on Saturday.
When you're over there in the sideline, what kind of command does Sean Clifford have even on that part of the field when they're on the sideline?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the guy that everyone – and it's interesting because there will be times where he's very vocal and will go up and down the bench and talk to the receivers, running backs, linemen. Or if he sees something, he'll specify to a guy and pull a guy over. But there are other times where he'll just go and find his spot. But you see players gravitate towards him.
Yes.
They come over, they want to interact with him, they want to pick his brain, and I think the dynamic between him and Mike Yurcich is really, really strong. They know Mike knows when to push Sean Clifford a little bit more, and he also knows when to back off Sean Clifford a little bit more. And I think they have a really strong relationship, so it starts with them, but you can see the way players will gravitate towards him, and anything that they want to run by, there's such a command of the offense for him, which is impressive in the first year of another new system, that he's an extension of his coach where they can go right to him as a leader to get on the same page and design what they want to do out there on the field.
Well, anybody knows who goes to the pregame show, you and Jack are the one that shows up with the notes. So when you look at Michigan, what are your notes telling you about Michigan?
Same thing your head's telling you. what do you have stored up in that noggin? I think they're excellent.
It is a sad state of affairs upstairs, I can tell you that.
They're an excellent running team. It'd be interesting to see if Corum can go, because that gives them another dynamic weapon, because they can use it in the passing game too. But they're both pretty explosive. Even Haskins, for a guy his size with the power he runs with, and they can get downhill. And then I think the other big matchup is how does Penn State protect Sean Clifford with Hutchinson and Ojabo coming off the end. Yeah. Those are probably the two biggest things. Ross, their linebacker, is really, really good.
Yeah, this is a game to me that's about schedule. In other words, can Penn State stay on its schedule, or can Penn State defensively throw Michigan off schedule?
Yep.
And
I think that's most emblematic by them in the red zone, too. 25 touchdowns, I think, in the red zone. 19 are on the ground, six through the air. So if you can get them into a 3rd and 8, 3rd and 10 in the red zone, like if they're going to run the ball and go down the field, they still got to get in. As where Penn State's been really strong, you hold them to field goals, I think that's a win for you.
Yeah, 17 times Michigan's had to settle for a field goal in the red zone. Now, Moody, to his credit, Jake is 17-17. The one that makes me laugh is the Michigan State one, where it's the end of the half, and Mel Tucker has all three timeouts remaining. So they run out Moody. Moody comes out right before the snap. Mel calls a timeout. Moody kicks it. It's good. Right? They line up again. Moody's there right before the snap. Mel calls a timeout. Moody kicks it. Goes right through the middle. Right? Third time up. Mel calls the timeout right before the snap. Moody kicks it, goes for three to the upright. It's good. So the fourth time is the one that's actually really kicked it down the middle again. He went 4 for 4 in one kicking sequence. Like, this guy can't miss.
And they obviously, in that Michigan State game, they showed the ability to be explosive in the passing game.
Yeah.
But watching the Indiana game, they struggled throwing the football to the point where McCarthy, it wasn't just garbage time reps.
Right.
They like his athleticism back there.
Yeah.
You wonder how things go, and look, they'll run a 6 offensive lineman and tight end set out there too.
Right.
They can run a lot of different formations at you. So I think if you're Penn State, it's identifying what personnel they have in the game and being able to, again, get them off schedule, like you said.
All right, 8:30 tonight, 7 o'clock tomorrow. 8:30 tonight, 7 o'clock tomorrow at Pagula. Then Brian joins us on the sideline Saturday at 10:30. Noon will be the kickoff, and then Brian and I get on the plane and go to UMass on Sunday night for the game on Monday.
A lot of time with my best bud.
Oh, really? Who else is going on the trip?
There's one in every crowd.
Every crowd. Hey, I'm back.
I'll bring you the notes for you. I'll bring your notes.
Good. I'm back at 7 o'clock. Don't forget to tip your waitress. All right. Thanks, Tripper.
See you, bud.
You're the best, man. Yeah, bud.
You too. You are.
The Brian Tripp, voice of Penn State hockey, and also doing a fabulous job on the sideline for Penn State football. Next half hour, Tom Hannifin joins us. Reginald Walker, final half hour. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Tom Hannifin is going to join us from the Pay Dirt podcast that he does with Matt McGloin, and Matt's going to join us on Monday, as a matter of fact. And final half hour, Reginald Walker from Charlotte will join us. Great to have you with us today, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It's a beautiful day here in the Valley to drive over to Reagan Street in Sunbury to the best in the business and stock up for the weekend.
and stock up for your tailgates. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. As we continue here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.